Okay, so we want to direct our attention, if you can, this morning to the matter of the mothers. And to find out with what we have, with the young ones that we have here, that it's imperative that you understand what it is that mothers do and how they help your development, your spiritual development, your physical development. And so we're directing it in regard to that appreciation for the mothers that are, have been, whatever the case may be. In regards to what the scriptures have to say in the matter of mothers. The condition of our society shows a necessity that we have for teaching about this because there is a lack of authority as far as what of how children deal with their parents, and that due to that lack of authority in that particular matter has resulted in an eroding of the homes. And once the homes erode, then the nation is set for a final fall, if you will. I don't know if I've mentioned before, I'll mention it again. There was a gentleman that did research on 80 nations. And those 80 nations that he did the research on, they're gone. And he was identifying what it was that caused their demise. And they found that when the nation started, they had a moral, conservative ethical society that started those particular nations. And over a period of time, as their thinking became more liberal, if you will, that it got to a point where the homes were destroyed. And the family unit was no longer regarded in the matter of the benefits of the people. And within one generation of the destruction of the home, the nations fell. 80 of them. And so it's pretty consistent of the importance that we have of the home in what God established. God had created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve had children. Their children had their children, and then you have a family. And the family, as it would begin to increase, then you had states, if you will, nations, tribes, whatever it was, and governments that were needed in order to for each of them to function. And so when the family unit is destroyed, then it also destroys that of the nation. And that's kind of where our nation is going presently. We find that within the writing of Luke, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, well, I want to look at Proverbs 30 and verse 11, just real quick. It said, "There is a generation that curses their father and bless not their mother." And that is a generation of which we see partially within the society within which we live. But as progress is going to, if you call it progress, as time is going to progress, we find that that's going to become more of a norm rather than that of just something that is occasional. And so that generation, that is a possibility for that to happen. Within the writing of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, we find where the Apostle Paul had indicated in regards to the responsibilities that individuals have toward their mothers when he had stated, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, what he said, verse 2, he said, "The elder women as mothers." Now here's how you deal with them. "Rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters in all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety or worship in regard to it toward their own family and to requite their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." And so this matter of this family unit, the responsibilities that you have in regards to the children, with the parents and the children, and the time comes where the children have responsibility to the parents, and that is, if you will, God's social security, if you will, that the family unit takes care of themselves. We find that the Lord, we know, was born of woman, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It's interesting. Now, what we find here is a basis upon which this particular event transpired. In Luke chapter 1, and verse 28, it was said in regards to Mary that that he came in unto her and said, "Hail," this is as we find Gabriel that comes to Mary and says, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." So here's Mary, that she was highly favored by God. Verse 46, that Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the God my Savior, for he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And so here was a matter of where to recognize what God had done with her. When we consider in verse 38, we may look at this again in a moment, but in verse 38 that Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid," here that Gabriel comes to Mary, tells her what's going to happen. In verse 36, "Behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also has conceived a son in her old age," verse 36, "and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren." And this is, she was the mother of John the Baptizer. "For no word of God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." And so Mary had this attitude that whatever it is that God intends, let it be. And that's one that she was highly favored in that particular matter. Therefore, we find in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 that when the fullness of time came, that the Lord was born of woman under the law, or during that dispensation, the Mosaical dispensation. And so the Lord was born of woman. We find that the reason that we find that these individuals were chosen was based upon their righteousness. Righteousness was found in them. And we know that within Luke chapter 1, verse 30, as we had identified in verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." This matter of having been found favor, Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, same thing said about him, of how he found favor before God. Enoch is one that walked with God, and also that Noah had walked with God. God found favor in him. And it was a result of their righteousness, if you will, that they had found favor in the eyes of God. Therefore, in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, concerning Zacharias and Elizabeth, who was the father and mother of John the Baptizer, that Zachariah, he was of the course of Abijah, he was a priest, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And so when we see this matter of being found in favor with God, it's because these individuals had walked according to the commandments of the Lord. And so we see that the matters of how the Lord deals with people in regards to their righteousness, or doing what is right, wise, according to the commands of the Lord. And we find that as far as his mother was concerned, in John 19:27, the Lord's final thoughts were directed toward his mother in the matter of what he had instructed John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in John chapter 19 and verse 27, when he said, "Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home." And so even in the final moments of the Lord's life, that his direction was, or his thoughts were directed toward his mother. We find that there's righteous women in biblical history. We have that from Naomi to Ruth, Sarai, Phoebe, Prisca, and others that are identified by name within the scriptures. And it's interesting, of all the thousands or millions of people that have existed on the planet while the Word of God was being brought together, there's only a few, relatively speaking, to whom their names are even mentioned. And so these are women that had high regards in the eyes of the Lord. We find that the responsibility of motherhood, one of them is that in regards to the managing of the home. In the writing of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 21, the scriptures tell us in reference to the worthy woman. You go back to verse 10 of Proverbs 31. "A worthy woman who can find, for her price is far above rubies. And so we have a specific instruction about a worthy woman. And well, one time it was said, why is it that Solomon deals with the worthy woman in regards to it in these verses 10 through 31, and not the man? Well, because the rest of the book is directed toward the man, his problems with what he has. Anyway, so we find that within the worthy woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 21, it says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's not afraid of the cold because she has tended to them. Verse 27, that she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is not idle. She deals with the matter of the household. And that's one of the things that the Lord said that a worthy woman will fulfill. In the writing of 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul also deals with the responsibilities in the home that the mother has in regards to it. Chapter 5 and verse 14, that it says concerning her, I desire therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, rule the household. That she has a responsibility to make sure that she has a well-ordered household. For already the adversary, or verse 15, for already some are turned aside after Satan. So we find that this matter, that the mother has the responsibility to make sure that she deals with the domestic affairs of the home. She has a responsibility to rule the home. And we find the magnitude of this responsibility is stated within Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. When Solomon said that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. And so rather than being left to themselves, it is essential that they have this governed, that they have one that is seeking their best interest, and that is their mother. And so we see the magnitude of the essential nature of the mother to the children. Also, back in Proverbs 31 and verse 15, we find that the mother is industrious in what she does. And oftentimes, children do not see the industry that she's involved in because they're asleep when she gets up and they're in bed before she goes to bed. And she's industrious throughout the day. They're going about their life. They're really not paying attention to what's happening or what puts the food on the table, what makes all of these provisions. And Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 15, where Solomon said, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth food to her household, and their task to her handmaids. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. And so this one, that the mother is not given to idleness, and they're involved on a daily basis in regards to the well-being of the family and the well-being of the children. We also find that these women are models of obedience. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the responsibilities that are placed upon the older women to the younger women, that Titus or Paul said that these women, that they are to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed or evil spoken of. So this we find that the worthy woman is one that is a model of obedience. And we have righteous women throughout the scriptures that manifest this matter of subjection. One of them was that of Mary, and that's what we noted in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, that her subjection to the God of heaven was simply set forth as God said what he was going to do with her, that she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever it is that the Lord wanted of her, that's what she was going to fulfill. And she manifested that attitude of subjection towards God. We find that subjection is one that is voluntary, if you will, that it is one that this subjection within the home, between the husband and the wife, is one that has been placed there by God, not by man. And so the Lord said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear." That their conduct within life is based upon what God has instructed them to do. And even if they have an unbelieving husband, which some have, that their husband will see the devotion that is given by the wife to her God. And as a result of it, will have a propensity of that of obedience to the gospel themselves. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of braiding of the hair, the wearing of jewels of gold, or the putting on of apparel. This is a not but construction. He's not saying that they can't braid their hair or wear jewels or put on apparel. But, here's the strong part, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner aforetime, the holy women also, who hoped in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are, if ye do well, and are not put in fear of any terror. And so we find that the Lord indicates that this is the position that the Lord has trusted unto you to fulfill this, and it requires the matter of that subjection. And it also identifies in verse 7 the responsibility of the husband to understand that and not to abuse that which is granted unto him. Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, having honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Now this weaker vessel, he's not talking about weaker physically, not talking about weaker mentally, he's talking about weaker in authority, that she is to show this objection to her husband. And when women do that, they set forth the premise to their children of God's plan, and this is God's structure, and it brings glory to God, and the name of God is not blasphemed when she fulfills that responsibility. And so that is one of a voluntary subjection. And children see that, and they will grow up in that particular area. One of the problems that we have within the society that exists, and the reason that we have children that curse their father and their mother, is because in some cases their father and mother didn't know what they were supposed to do. You say, how do you train somebody to be able to fulfill these responsibilities if you don't know them your own self? We deal with coping skills. Why is it that children don't have coping skills? They don't have coping skills because they have not been taught to have coping skills, and they haven't been taught because their parents weren't taught, and they don't know how to exercise themselves to exercise those coping skills. And it requires that we return to the Word of God to see what God has to say and begin to develop that so we'll be able to pass it to our children and they to their children. We find that we don't go through life just sticking one foot in front of the other. We need the direction of God. Jeremiah indicated that it is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. We must have our confidence within that of the Lord. And so we find that the responsibility of motherhood is to be involved and be models of obedience to their children. And it's not always difficult or not always easy in order to do that. We also find that the responsibilities of motherhood is within the training. The training that is to go to the children within the writing of Proverbs. In Proverbs 31, we find that in verse 1, here was the words of the oracles that Lemuel, his mother, taught him. What, my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to say, where is strong drink? Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert justice due to any that is afflicted. So here was a matter of where he identified the responsibility that she had to teach her son in regards to these particular matters. In the writing of Titus, once again, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, we find the responsibilities of that of the aged women, if you will, the aged men to be temperate, grave, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, in patience, that aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good. And they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to teach them how to do that. And so the mothers have that responsibility within the teaching of their sons and the training of their daughters. And we find that it effectually will result in glory given unto God. In the writing of Titus, or Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, here was the case of Timothy, a young man that had great reports as far as Paul's concerned within the work that he did. And we find that in verse 5, he said, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And so here we find that in reference to it, this brings glory to God, that the faith that Timothy had, it dwelt first in his grandmother and his mother, and they passed it on to him. And so we find that this proper teaching will effectually result within the glory that goes to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, when he said, "And that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And so as the grandmother and the mother, that they were involved of taking those young men, taking Timothy under this particular context, and instructing him while he was a child that he would have faith in the God of heaven, to teach them about God, to instruct them about God. And so we find the responsibilities, and that's what we look at as far as mothers are concerned, to understand that they have a great responsibility, and it is for your advantage that they do what they do. And we find in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20 that training will tend to life of the children. And that's what we want to seek. They do not seek the demise of the children, but life. So Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, where he said, "My son, keep the commandment of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, tie them about thy neck. When thou walkest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall watch over thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life." And we find that the mother, they forsake not the laws of the mother, that they are there for a purpose, and they will train. And so what we see, we want to focus upon, is understanding that this great responsibility that is given unto them, that children are failed to be told what's going on, they fail to see what's going on, but they need to understand why mothers do what they do. We find that there's examples of mothers' love within the Scriptures. And these individuals that you have in 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 11, that Hannah was without child, and we find that her husband's other wife, under this particular context, was just goading her because that she had not given children. And we find that Hannah had identified in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, when she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto Jehovah and wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, "O Jehovah of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, Then I will give him unto Jehovah all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That's involved in reference to that of the Nazarite vow. That here Samuel was devoted. He was given to God from his birth. And when once he was weaned, she took him and gave him unto Eli the priest. And Samuel is one of individuals of the prophets, of the last of the judges, that when his death came about, that it was identified that the chariots of Jehovah were gone. Their protection. Samuel was able to say to Israel, you find after his long life, you tell me one thing that I did that was not in accordance with the will of God and for your benefit. And they were not able to charge him with any ill effects within what he did. And so Samuel was one that Hannah, that her desire for him was that he ultimately be devoted to the Lord. We have Jochebed. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. And that when Pharaoh was killing these children and having them put to death, she put her faith in God, put him in an ark of bulrushes, and put him within the river. And we know how that event came about, with him being retrieved by the daughter of Pharaoh, reared in the household of Pharaoh, and ultimately brought the children of Israel out of the land of bondage and gave them the law. And Moses has all of the high regards that can be given unto a man. We find that in 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 11, Rizpah, that she was the daughter of Saul. And that when Saul had gone out and destroyed the Gibeonites because of their sorcery within what they had, that there was no rain that came upon the land. And David understood that something was amiss. So he makes inquiry, finds out that it was because of what Saul did, and he asked the Gibeonites, what can we do to resolve this? And they said, we want the sons of Saul. And so they took them and killed them and hung their bodies out. And Rizpah had spent her time in keeping the birds of prey off of them and protecting the physical remains of those children. And so we find examples of mothers' love throughout the Scripture. And it is out of love that mothers train their sons and their daughters. In the writing of the book of Proverbs, once again, and Proverbs has so much to tell us about the family relationship of what individuals are to do and what they do within their lives. In verse 3 of chapter 4, for I was a son unto my father, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And children fall under that particular category. In chapter 31 and verse 1, the sacrifices that the mother makes for the children of where the words of the king to Lemuel, the oracles which his mother taught him. Mothers are involved within teaching of their sons and daughters that they can grow up. And when they go out of the home and they leave their father and mother and cleave to their wife, that they are equipped to deal with the world, and they are equipped to raise their children in the manner that is acceptable to God. And so those matters exist within it. Therefore, honor is to be bestowed upon the mother. We've seen all of these aspects of what they do. We find that within Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 1, when the law was given, Leviticus 19 and verse 1, that Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, Jehovah your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and ye shall keep my Sabbaths, I am Jehovah your God. And that matter of respect, that matter of fear, if you will, that the children are to have, that honor is to be bestowed upon them. They give them life. They bring them into the world. They take care of them when they could not take care of themselves. And that honor is to be bestowed upon them. We find that we need to give them the opportunity, if you will, to be able to rejoice as far as the children are concerned. The writing of Proverbs, once again, in Proverbs chapter 23, and beginning in verse 22, Solomon said, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Here's a matter of what happens in regards to some individuals, that you do not despise your mother when she is old. Let thy father, verse 25, and thy mother be glad, and let her that bare thee rejoice. We find that oftentimes that children are such that they, with their conduct, that they keep their mother from being able to rejoice, keep them from being able to be happy within life because of the ill conduct of the children. And so they are to be honored, and let her have the opportunity to rejoice. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, of where children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. They are to honor their father and their mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And when the law was given and the commandments was given, this one of honor thy father and mother is one that had a promise. And that promise was that they might live long on the earth. And the Apostle Paul reiterated that within Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, the great event of what children can do, that in their day, because they recognize the sacrifices that their mothers make, they recognize their responsibility toward her, Solomon said, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but thou excelleth them all. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. And that's the baseline, if you will, that children and husbands that need to bestow this honor upon the worthy woman because of her fear of God, and that she will be praised. God's attitude toward disrespectful children is set forth within passages such as Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, of where a child that would not obey the commands of the father or the mother, they had gone through the process. This wasn't just one time that this child had been disobedient, but once they did, and the father and mother could not do anything with them because of the influence that they would have upon other children, if you will, they were taken to the elders of the city, and that would be hard to do. Taken to the elders of the city, and when convicted of these vile crimes, they would go out and stone them to death. That's God's attitude toward disrespectful children. And in Romans chapter 1, in verse 28, when the Apostle Paul identified the sins of the Gentiles, he said, and even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind. Reprobate is that of not standing up to the standard, if you will. And it is a mind which God cannot approve of. And so he gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. He puts those within the category of some of the most notorious transgressions, if you will. And so that honor should be bestowed, and God's attitude toward being disobedient to parents is one that the Apostle Paul says that the old man needs to put off, and as a new man, to fulfill the responsibilities that they have. The admonition to children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Are you involved in that? Mothers make great sacrifices throughout life, and in those sacrifices, they continue to make them throughout the childhood of their children and even into the areas of the adulthood of their children. And therefore, they have great responsibility and they deserve great honor in their service unto the Lord. I hope that information has been of some benefit, and that we will recognize that within our life and keep in mind that the system that God has placed within the home is one that will result in a happy home, if you will, and a blessed home. And we thank the mothers for that particular involvement that they have had.